For those of us who did not grow up in the church, we can remember that this was an exciting time of the year. As a child, my sisters and I, along with millions of other kids our age, were told that Santa Claus was the one that would bring the gifts that we wanted for Christmas. And that lie was repeated to every kid until they realized as they aged that their parents were Santa Claus. As a kid, I remember thinking, how did this big round guy get down our chimney? And I later learned that our parents were the Santa Claus. And every year, my sisters and I were disappointed that we didn't get what we desired or wanted for Christmas. And looking back, understanding my parents' financial background or situation, after my father harvested crop and made payments to his creditors, there was very little money available to buy us gifts. We ended up with candy, a few items of clothes. My sisters ended up with dolls. And I was desirous of having a wagon, and when I was small, a tricycle, and later a bicycle. But back then, there was no MasterCard, Visa, or American Express. And if there was one, but they were available, I don't think my parents would qualify. My title this afternoon is Jesus Christ in Christmas? Two of the things that stand out for during this time of year is that parents lie to their children, which is violating the ninth commandment. And oftentimes, the kids, as we did when we were kids, we covet what our neighbors receive or fellow classmates in school receive. A song titled, Mama Wouldn't Lie to Me. It was written by Brandon Heath and Andy Gillihan. The kids at school are laughing because I still believe in just one night a man slides down everyone's chimney. Well, that's what mommy told me. And mommy always tells the truth. She says, do as you should, be real good, and he'll be good to you. Santa put presents underneath our tree. Mama wouldn't lie to me. Mama and Daddy wouldn't lie to me. No, they wouldn't lie to me. Let's turn over to Exodus 20 and reread verse 16, a familiar verse to all of us. Exodus 20 and verse 16. It simply says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In Strong's word, the word false is number 5574. It means to deceive by lies. And as we look at our world today, lying is widely viewed as an acceptable behavior. Here's a few facts about Christmas. Each year, 30 to 35 million live trees are sold in the United States alone. There are about 21,000 Christmas tree growers in the United States, and trees usually grow for about 15 years before they are sold to individuals. This is a quote from Christmasfacts.com. In the early years of Christianity, Easter was the main holiday. The birth of Jesus was not celebrated. In the 4th century, church officials decided to institute the birth of Jesus as a holiday. And of course, the Bible nowhere mentioned the date for Christ's birth. Some other evidence suggests that his birth may have occurred in the spring. Pope Julius I chose December 25th. It is commonly believed that the church chose this date in an effort to adopt and observe the traditions of the pagan Sayonara festival, first called the Feast of Nativity. The custom spread to Egypt in 432 and to England by the end of the 6th century. Another quote from history.com. Here's a little joke from joke.com. There are 3 stages of a man. He believes in Santa Claus. He does not believe in Santa Claus. And he is Santa Claus. Many reputable authors have written well-researched books documenting the origin of the Christmas holiday, and many encyclopedias summarize the same information. One such book is the Oxford Guide to Ideas and Issues of the Bible, written by Bruce Metzinger and Michael Coogan. In their entry about Christmas, they state that the 25th of December was by the 4th century AD, the date of the winter solstice, celebrated in antiquity as the birthday of Mithra, an ancient pagan, ancient Persian god, and of Solar Invictus, the unconquered sun god. In the Julian calendar, solstice fell on the 6th of January when the birth of Osiris, the Egyptian god of the dead, was celebrated by Alexander. By about 300 AD, January the 6th was the date of the Epiphany celebration in the East, a feast that was closely related to Christmas. The earliest mention of the 25th of December for Christmas is in the Philosian calendar of 354 BC, part of what is reflected in the Roman practice in 336. Continue to quote from Oxford Guide. In the Julian calendar, which was created by Julius Caesar, the 25th of December was reckoned the winter solstice, and it was regarded as the nativity, or the birth of the sun. Because the days began to lengthen and the power of the sun to increase from the turning point of the year. Why did the Catholic Church adopt this pagan holiday for Christmas? The noted British anthropologist and scholar Sir James Fraser writes, "What consideration led the ecclesiastical authorities to institute the festival of Christmas? The motive for the innovation are stated with great frankness by a Syrian writer who himself was a Christian. The reason he tells us why the fathers transferred the celebration of the 6th of January to the 25th of December was this. It was the custom of the heathens to celebrate on the 25th of December, the birthday of the sun, at which time they kindle lights in token of the festival. In these ceremonies and celebrations, the Christians also took part in. When the doubters of this holiday perceived that Christians had a leaning to this festival, they took counsel and resolved that the true nativity should be observed on that day. It appears that the Christian church chose to celebrate the birthday of its founder on the 25th of December in order to transfer the devotion of the heathen from the Son to him who was called the Son of Righteousness, according from British scholar Sir James Frazer's book. If we were to ask our neighbors, why do they celebrate Christmas? How would you think they would respond? A few years ago, as I returned from the winter break, one of the ladies in the school at the school that I worked at asked me, how was my Christmas? And I stated, I don't observe Christmas. And I said, it's not found in the Bible. So she just quickly responded that that's the date where we choose to observe his birthday. Many in our society today would say that that's the day that we honor Christ's birthday. Others feel that Christmas is a good Christian time or time for families to get together. Many do it because they have always done it. They grow up doing it, so they continue to do it. And a couple of decades ago, I've gotten together with family on around that time, but just because there was a large group of family that I wouldn't normally see at during the rest of the year. But I didn't linger around because it felt very uncomfortable being around people that are celebrating a holiday that I didn't celebrate. Christmas can appear tantalizing to the eyes and the ear. People seem happy, generous. They're full of good cheer. And we see twinkling lights that decorate many houses. And in our neighborhood, as I said in my last sermon about Halloween, we have neighbors that have decorated their houses with all types of lights. And we wonder what the electric bill will be next month. But they like to impress one another and see and get the praises from their neighbors. Many of the houses have, at this time of year across the country, have reindeers pictured on their roof that look as if they are poised to take off. The colorful, peaceful appearance on Christmas scene can, in one sense of the word, be intoxicating or addicting. The music, songs sung by Bing Crosby, Brenda Lee, and others, can be intoxicating. We can find ourselves tapping our feet or humming along when we go shopping for groceries or go to the mall or at a doctor's office. The colorful, peaceful appearance of the Christmas scene can be, as I said, addicting. And we can be drawn into riding around the neighborhoods to view various decorated houses, which can seem exciting, but is it something that we should be doing? Why some Christians don't celebrate Christmas? Quoting from an article written by Mr. Gerald Oss in December the 4th, 2017. He states that shoppers pack stores, browsing for gifts they hope to buy at bargain basement prices. And we hear the strains of White Christmas, Silent Night, or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is resonating or played everywhere. The December weather of the Northern Hemisphere might be frightful outside, but feeling the warmth inside is delightful. He's referring to the northern part of our country. The south, this area and the southern part don't have that same feeling. But honest scholars admit that the customs of Christmas and December 25th celebrations long predate the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. Let's look at some biblical examples or evidence. Let's start in Luke chapter 2, and we read verse 6 through 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to deliver, speaking of Jesus Christ's mother, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. This itself would tell us that Jesus could not have been born on anywhere near December the 25th, because people would not be out herding their sheep in the wintertime because of the coldness of the night. And another account that is written in Luke 2 and verse 1, the Roman census system is another historical proof that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, go back up to verse 1 of Luke 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And quoting from Alexander Hyslop in regards to the census, if any should think that the winter winds was not so extreme in these parts, let him remember that the words of Christ in the gospel in Matthew 24 and verse 20, pray not that your flight not be in the winter. A far more likely scenario is that Jesus was born in autumn around the time of the biblical Feast of Tabernacles, when Joseph and Mary would have traveled to Jerusalem to keep the feast along with thousands of other Jewish families. This also helps us understand why in the town of Bethlehem, a few miles to the south of Jerusalem, there was no room for them in the inn. The town would have been crowded with other travelers keeping the feast at this time of year. Another quote from the Good News from Mr. Oz from December of 2009. He asked the question, did the apostles keep Christmas? It's clear that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th, but could the apostles have instituted Christmas in the church after Jesus' death and resurrection? Nowhere in the New Testament can you find one iota of scriptural evidence that Jesus or any one of the apostles ever kept Christmas or taught anyone to keep this pagan celebration. Jesus sternly warned correctly the religious teachers of his day who substitute human tradition with the teaching for God's truth. We read that in Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. And he answered, verse 6, and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Jesus' quotation from Isaiah 29, verse 13, clearly defined what a hypocrite was and focused on God's condemnation of those who taught the commandments of men as if they were God's instruction. Rather than teaching Christians to adopt pagan practices in their worship, Jesus and the apostles plainly kept and taught Christians to keep God's holy days, which are first recorded in Leviticus 23. They kept the Passover, which is recorded in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 26, the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, Acts 2, and verse 1, the Fall Festival and the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. The Apostle John is direct in his assessment of any who claim to be Christians, but refuse to follow Christ's laws and commandments. We'll read that in 1 John 2 and verse 4. 1 John 2 and verse 4. Here we are told that in verse 4, 1 John 2, he who says, I know him. If he that says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The word know is Strong's number G1097. It signifies to be taken to knowledge, to come to know, to recognize and understand, to understand completely. The Bible proves God never sanctioned Christmas, nor does Scripture reveal the date of Jesus Christ's birth. Here's another quote from the current issue of the Beyond Today magazine, titled, Honoring God Today, Is It Really Glory to the Newborn King? Jesus Christ was the one the Israelites knew as God in the Old Testament. He was married to ancient Israel by a covenant. Israel was unfaithful to her husband and played the harlot by having countless affairs and with other gods. Some will claim that the command in Deuteronomy 12, verse 28 through 32, do not worship him with pagan custom, referring to God, was talking only about the horrible practice like child sacrifice and not the milder traditions such as decorating and pagan holidays. For instance, not only did he tell his people not to raise up decorated trees, but he had earlier told them to get rid of all pagan sites, altars, sacred pillars, and images. Let's read that in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Here's what God told the ancient Israelites in Deuteronomy 12, verse 2. You shall surely, utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods on the high mountains, on the hills, and on every green tree. And you wonder, well, did they have Christmas trees back then when you read this on every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. The question may be, why didn't God want to be worshipped in this way? He knows what all the customs represent. He saw it at first hand, and he hates to be reminded of it, much less associated with it. When we look at the old covenant marriage between Christ and Israel, he put her away or divorced her, and he later died at his crucifixion. Now, the resurrected Jesus is in the process of making a new covenant with Israel. We read that in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, of which the New Testament church, the Israel of God, is the forerunner. The spiritual Israel is being cleansed of false religion and sin to once more marry Jesus Christ. Let's read that in Revelation 19, verse 6 through 9. Revelation 19, verse 6 through 9. Verse 6 of Revelation 19. And I heard as it was, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of many thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. With all this in mind, with all this that I have covered, what would it be like if his true followers were to celebrate Christmas? But many in our world today, many professing Christians, don't know about the true origin or true beginning of Christmas and its customs, especially the more evil aspects of it. For example, the Germanic word for mistletoe literally means dung on a twig. This sounds romantic, doesn't it? Not knowing, however, cannot be used to support or excuse Christmas celebration. For as mentioned earlier, God does know where these practices came from. He remembers them all. Let's be thankful to God for opening our minds and heart to the truth about his holy days that has delivered us from the pagan holidays of this world. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.